be avoided by putting the focus on undereating and obsessive thinking about food and body. In Laurel's case, a combination of illness and personal trauma set off her eating disorder. Laurel was a healthy girl and a normal eater until she was almost 17 years old. Just before her 17th birthday, she became very ill with tonsillitis, which decreased her normal appetite. Losing a few pounds led to positive comments by her friends. Liking this attention, Laurel found herself dieting for the first time in her life. She would tell herself that she didn't need that cookie or that bag of chips. 1 month later, she got sick again, this time with a flu. Once again, she lost more weight and was given even more attention. Soon after this, Laurel discovered that her boyfriend was cheating on her with her best friend, news that, understandably, devastated her. Feeling betrayed, she completely stopped eating and began to isolate from her friends. In the first week, she felt no hunger and lost even more weight. After that, even though her hunger returned, feeling so unhappy, she chose not to eat. She also began using laxatives, thinking that they would help to lose more weight. Laurel was trying to find some semblance of control in her now out-of-control life. Deeply concerned about her well-being, her parents sent her to treatment with a psychotherapist, with whom she had a wonderful relationship. She was also sent to a nutritionist, with whom she did not connect. She was given a high-calorie meal plan by the nutritionist, was told to weigh and measure her food, and to keep a food log. Unfortunately, this excessive amount of food caused rapid weight gain with its accompanying refeeding edema, water retention that occurs when eating begins again after a period of starvation. In order to get some relief from her physical discomfort, Laurel began purging her food. Ultimately, she stopped seeing the nutritionist, stopped her bulimic behaviors, and stopped any kind of healthy eating. Instead, all she began to eat was candy. At this point, Laurel was referred to nutrition therapy by her psychotherapist. As in other cases previously mentioned, the safety that Laurel felt in this new experience led to a strong feeling of trust. With this trust, she became willing to absorb information that would help her change her thinking about eating and begin the journey to rebuilding a healthy relationship with food. Laurel was treated as part of the team in her recovery. She was told that, ultimately, her body was hers to protect, and that a decision to get healthy again had to come from within. Clearly, it hadn't worked for her to follow an authoritarian recommendation. In her new treatment, she felt respected as an individual who was intelligent and capable of making healthy decisions. She also appreciated hearing that all of the behaviors she had attempted in her eating disorder were created as coping mechanisms to deal with emotional and physical feelings. Laurel was taught about starvation's effect on her energy levels, immune system, sleep patterns, cognitive functioning, and metabolism. She was taught the many advantages of eating in a balanced way that would be respectful to her body, but still include the play foods that she had come to love. If she chose to eat this way, she would prevent large blood sugar fluctuations, and she would be providing her body with the nutritional building blocks for making hormones, strong bones, immunoglobulins, muscle tissue, neurotransmitters, and more. She soon began to examine the trade-off between what she would be getting by maintaining her disordered eating and what she would be giving up. Part of Laurel's disordered behavior included isolating, out of a fear of eating in public. Soon she was able to see that this emotionally damaging isolation, along with her potentially physically dangerous current patterns, were far more frightening than actually learning to eat again. This time around, however, she began by taking tiny baby steps rather than giant leaps, adding a bit of protein to her day, such as a string cheese in the morning, or some cottage cheese or yogurt at lunch, was acceptable to her. It was not too much food to encourage excessive bloating, but it was a step in a healthy direction. Little by little, she added new foods, always working toward a balance of protein, carbohydrates, and fats. She began to include fruits and vegetables, waffles and brown rice and pizza, nuts and beans, beef jerky and avocado. She also came to trust that she could include play food in the day without tipping the balance. Little by little, she began gaining weight, with very little physical discomfort. She practiced and rehearsed what it would be like to go to dinner with friends. Although feeling scared, she took the risk and got through the initial experience, feeling triumphant. Her friendships were renewed, and she accomplished the task of college applications, the joy of the senior prom, and graduation. Eventually, Laurel left for her first year at college, where she was preparing and providing food for herself, as well as eating out with friends. She was able to again experience normal hunger signals, regained a healthy amount of weight, and began once again to regularly get her period. At college, as was to be expected, Laurel experienced a few emotionally uncomfortable situations. These experiences led her to an initial loss of appetite and a fleeting thought that controlling her eating might give her a sense of emotional control. But she very quickly remembered the conversations she'd had in the early days of her psychotherapy and nutrition therapy and was able to get right back on track. She stayed in touch by weekly calls and felt that this support was an important part of her transition into independence. All of the stories we've told so far were those of girls and women, but eating disorders are not absent from the world of men. Let's now look at one case history of a young man whose eating disorder was not only triggered by some of the same factors as seen before, but was also influenced by the media. Trevor. Trevor was a 31-year-old man whose weight was normal until the age of 12. Problems in school and living with a dysfunctional family, triggered emotional discomfort and overeating. Although his sister teased him mercilessly and called him disparaging names, he blocked this out and remained in denial of his compulsive eating problem. By the time he was 18, Trevor realized that his overeating had led him to an uncomfortably large size. At this point, Trevor decided that he was going to tackle his weight problem. His solution was to begin taking laxatives, which he mistakenly thought would produce true weight loss. He knew that both his sister and her friend were taking laxatives with this purpose in mind. He also knew that his mother was regularly taking suppositories. As expected, Trevor lost no weight from this dangerous practice and decided to join a health club to see if that would help. Unfortunately, he was lonely and depressed, and was eating most of the time, again precluding any weight loss. At that point, he read a story in a magazine that said that a particular celebrity was only consuming orange juice as a weight control method. Impressionable, Trevor decided to try starving himself in the same way. As a note, many people, especially those suffering from low self-esteem and eating disorders, often worship celebrities and project onto them a great deal of power and wisdom. They often admire their looks and copy their styles of dress and behaviors, a potentially dangerous act. At 20, Trevor moved to California, bringing his starving behavior along with him. He began taking college classes in the mornings and would go to the market afterward to make a salad with non-fat dressing from the salad bar, his only allotted food choice for the day. As time went on, he changed his routine and began to allow himself only one bag of rice cakes per day. He began taking sedatives so that he could sleep all day in order to avoid feelings of hunger, but his hunger became so intense that it would awaken him. Regardless of what Trevor ate, he continued taking laxatives and began to purge. Soon, friends were telling Trevor that he was looking skinny and pale. This attention, no matter how negative, pleased him deeply. Eventually, the rice cakes were eliminated, and Trevor was in a complete state of starvation. Finding himself in such primal hunger, Trevor one day consumed an entire bottle of ketchup. At this point, realizing how sick he had become, he entered treatment with a psychotherapist, who referred him for nutrition therapy. Although emaciated, Trevor still saw himself as the fat boy he had been in high school. He didn't believe that he deserved to eat, and felt that food was like poison for him. Developing a healthy therapeutic relationship, Trevor slowly took the steps toward becoming an intuitive eater. In fact, he even felt so much trust during the first session that he actually bought and ate a bran muffin directly after the session. The first of many steps on his path. With continued treatment, Trevor became an intuitive eater. He came a long way from believing that the simple suggestion to eat was a ridiculous thought, and that starving, laxatives, and purging were the only method of weight control for him. He accepted that throwing up what he ate didn't work for him. Instead, he saw that consuming balanced meals and eating regularly throughout the day sped his metabolism and allowed him to maintain a normal weight. In his psychotherapy sessions, he learned new coping skills to deal with his emotional problems. Trevor regularly reflected on his prior dysfunctional eating behaviors and never stopped being in awe of this transformation. Defining moments. It is immaterial whether an eating disorder happens to a female or a male, or whether it begins as a result of dieting to prepare for a prom, or as an answer to avoiding painful feelings. What is most important is the ability to connect with a psychotherapist and a nutrition therapist. These professionals should be trained to understand the psychology of eating disorders and be able to offer a safe arena for the exploration of the thoughts and feelings that form the basis of a patient's relationship with food. Sometimes during the treatment, there can be one defining moment that can affect the healing process profoundly. The following two vignettes illustrate defining moments. Kelly was a college senior whose anorexia and bulimia were so severe that she had at one point reached a dangerously low weight and was purging anything that she ate. Under the threat of hospitalization, she had managed to increase her weight somewhat before she was first seen for nutrition therapy. She was, however, still firmly entrenched in her eating disorder and was still seriously underweight. Although Kelly was extremely resistant to changing her habits, she was open to answering a question that became critical to her recovery. She was asked to explain what was her greatest fear in the realm of her nutrition therapy treatment. It was expected that she would say that she was afraid of never being able to stop gaining weight. Surprisingly, she answered that she was afraid of giving up her bulimia, because she used the act of purging as a way to reduce anxiety. Kelly was stunned by the relief that she felt when she reflected on two main facts. One, she came from a normal weight family, and two, she had never worried about her weight prior to the development of her eating disorder. Kelly was able to acknowledge that she didn't believe that her body could gain an unreasonable amount of weight. This realization became the defining moment that catapulted her recovery in leaps and bounds. As a result of her malnutrition, she was in an extremely depleted physical state. She was well aware that her energy levels were very low, that she was isolating from her friends, and that she was having difficulty focusing in school. If her poor health continued, she would be at imminent risk of being hospitalized, which would make continuing in school impossible. But for the first time, she realized that she didn't have to be afraid of excessive weight gain. At that moment, Kelly became willing to eat again. She decided that she could focus on reversing starvation, even if it might take a long time to resolve her bulimia. This shift did not occur as a result of being externally forced. Instead, she decided that she truly wanted to get well and be able to maintain normalcy in her life. This new resolve was born from the epiphany she had had about her genetics. She had now become a teammate in her own recovery. Kelly was now ready to take in more food. Her weight restoration and the return of her menstrual cycle were rapid. Along with this came an ability to feel appropriate hunger and fullness again. sensations she hadn't recognized for a very long time. At this point, the time had come to work on refining Kelly's sense of satisfaction in eating. When asked if there was any one thing that particularly helped her during this period, Kelly's face lit up and she said, "Yes, it was your story about eating a chocolate truffle during the movie Chocolat." One more defining moment. She loved hearing about the sensual experience of slowly tasting and savoring a delicious piece of chocolate while watching a film about a chocolate shop in Paris. She had also seen the film, wishing that she could enjoy the chocolate, a food she had forbidden herself. With a commitment to make peace with food, as well as trust in her nutrition therapist as a role model, Kelly began an exploration of all the foods which she had restricted for years, especially chocolate. After a year and a half, Kelly continues to maintain the weight that she had regained and eats with a freedom that she hadn't felt since before her anorexia began. In addition, her bulimic episodes drastically decreased. A large percentage of her bulimic behavior had been triggered by primal hunger and by the rebound from restricting the foods that she loved. Kelly's remarkable progress was attributed to challenging her destructive thoughts, honoring her hunger, and making peace with food. Kelly's ultimate goal of completely letting go of the bulimia also required continued work with her psychiatrist to find ways of coping with her anxiety without using food. Della, a beautiful and striking 6-foot-tall 23-year-old, had been in a battle with food all of her life. Taking after her father's side of the family, Della tended toward a stocky build. She always felt self-conscious about her body, in comparison with her ultra-thin sister, and also her mother, who was hyper-focused on maintaining her slimness. Della began dieting at age 14, beginning a roller coaster ride of drastic weight fluctuations, diet pills, food restriction, compulsive overeating, laxative abuse, and purging, which lasted until she began nutrition therapy at the age of 22. In her first session, Della was asked about her favorite foods. She mentioned many nutritious foods, such as beans and soups and vegetables and meat, and then, guiltily, acknowledged that she liked candy, but could only eat it in excess. As the intuitive eating process was explained to Della, she heard that she would always be able to eat any food that she desired, even candy. At first, she had a sense of disbelief, which was soon followed by a sense of calm. Della has since said that this moment of hope was one that has changed her life forever. She knew that all of her attempts at weight loss had not worked, and decided to give up the battle of weight loss and focus on just feeling good. She left the office with a resolve to quit dieting once and for all. Immediately, she experienced a quieting of her mind and a feeling of peace, which she had never remembered feeling in relationship to eating. Although past experiences with losing weight gave her a temporary feeling of well-being, this couldn't compare with what she ultimately felt as an intuitive eater. After a year and a half of this work, Della still loved candy, but she no longer needed to eat the whole box. In fact, she never even thought about doing that again. Eating became a pleasurable experience. As she followed her hunger and fullness and taste preferences, she received satisfaction from her meals, enjoyed the small amount of play food that she desired, and never felt stuffed. All remained quiet on the front of Della's war with food and body, and her concerns about her weight disappeared. What a surprise. As we have seen in hundreds of people, becoming an intuitive eater can have a powerful effect on many aspects of one's life. Many people, whom we've seen, have spent the majority of their waking moments thinking about what they've eaten and about their physical inadequacies. Some have used these obsessions as a way to distract themselves from difficult thoughts and feelings. Others have literally numbed themselves from traumatic experiences. Many feel shame about aspects of their eating disorders or about a body that doesn't meet society's current standards. For some people, the only emotion that triggers overeating is one that is associated with a feeling of guilt about eating itself. To their disbelief, once they are able to release this guilt by making peace with food, their overeating vanishes. Regardless of the source of overeating, undereating, or other behaviors associated with eating disorders, an unhealthy or uncomfortable relationship with food can impede one from moving forward in life. Through their journey on the path of intuitive eating, we have seen people change jobs, leave abusive relationships, mend bad feelings with friends or family, and simply regain or achieve, for the first time in their lives, peace and joy and contentment. Just ask Della or any of the others mentioned in this chapter. Each would tell you without a moment's hesitation that the trade-off is worth far more than anything they could have ever imagined. Readiness for intuitive eating. Eating disorders can take from a few months to many years for healing to take place. This depends on how long you've had the eating disorder, when you're ready to seek help, and other mitigating factors. It's important to be patient with yourself. It's unlikely that anyone with an eating disorder can fully dive straight into intuitive eating. If you start too soon without professional help, you may end up feeling scared, frustrated, and overwhelmed. Here are some of the indicators of when you are ready to move into work on intuitive eating. Remember, this should be done in conjunction with your healthcare team. Biological restoration and balance. If you have anorexia, this means weight restoration. It's not realistic to expect yourself to be able to regularly hear hunger signals, let alone honor hunger and fullness. If you have bulimia or a binge eating disorder, this means moving from a pattern of chaotic eating to regular meals. Regardless of the eating disorder, it will usually take some sort of nutrition counseling with a nutrition therapist to get you back into balance. Recognition that the eating disorder is not about weight or food, but rather something deeper. Once you begin to accept this, eating will move into the realm of self-care rather than a staunch attempt at defending its existence. Ability to recognize and willingness to deal with feelings. As you are able to identify and appropriately cope with your feelings, the need to turn to eating disorder behaviors will decrease. Ability to identify your wants and needs. As you are able to identify your wants and needs, the less you will need your eating disorder behaviors to fill that unmet void. Ability to risk. As your body begins to heal, both physically and psychologically, you will be ready to take and tolerate risks with your eating. For someone with anorexia, it may simply be eating a food without knowing its exact calorie count. For someone with bulimia, it might be savoring chocolate for the first time. Intuitive eating chart. How intuitive eating principles apply to eating disorders. Core principle. 1. Reject the diet mentality. Anorexia nervosa. Restricting is a core issue and can be deadly. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Restricting does not work and triggers primal hunger, which can lead to binge eating. Core principle. 2. Honor your hunger. Anorexia nervosa. Weight restoration is essential. The mind cannot function and think properly. You are likely caught in an obsessive cycle of thinking and worrying about food and have difficulty making a decision. Your body and brain need calories to function. Your nutrition therapist will work with you to create a way of eating that feels safe to you. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Eat regularly. This means 3 meals and 2 to 3 snacks. Eating regularly will help you get in touch with gentle hunger rather than the extremes that often occur with chaotic eating. Ultimately, you will trust your own hunger signals, even if they deviate slightly from this routine. Core principle 3. Make peace with food. Anorexia nervosa. Take risks. Add new foods when ready. Do this gradually with baby steps. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Take risks. Try fear foods when ready and not vulnerable. Vulnerability includes being overhungry, overstressed, or experiencing some other feeling state. Core principle 4. Challenge the food police. Anorexia nervosa. Challenge the thoughts and beliefs about food. Take the morality, judgment, and rigidity out of eating. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Challenge the thoughts and beliefs about food. Take the morality and judgment out of eating. Core principle 5. Feel your fullness. Anorexia nervosa. You can't rely on your fullness signals during the beginning phases of recovery, as your body likely feels prematurely full as a result of slowed digestion and stomach emptying. There is also a feeling of being bloated from refeeding edema. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. A transition away from experiencing the extreme fullness that is associated with binge eating. Once regular eating is established, gentle fullness will begin to resonate. Note, if you are withdrawing from purging, especially from laxatives, the feeling of fullness may temporarily be distorted by feeling bloated from water retention. Core principle 6. Discover the satisfaction factor. Anorexia nervosa. Frequently there are fears or resistance to experiencing the pleasure from eating, as well as other pleasures of life. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. If satisfying foods and eating experiences are included regularly, there will be less impetus to binge. Core principle 7. Cope with emotions without using food. Anorexia nervosa. Often emotionally shut down. Food restriction, food rituals, and obsessive thinking are the coping tools of life. With renourishment, you will be more prepared to deal with feelings that emerge. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Binge eating, purging, and excessive exercise are used as coping mechanisms. Can begin to take a time out from these behaviors to start experiencing and dealing with feelings. Core principle 8. Respect your body. Anorexia nervosa. Heal the body image distortion. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Respect the here and now body. Core principle 9. Exercise. Anorexia nervosa will likely need to stop exercising or might include gentle movement. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Overexercising can be a purging behavior. Moderate exercise can help manage stress and anxiety. Core principle 10. Honor your health. Anorexia nervosa, learning to remove the rigidity of nutrition, where there is a strict adherence to nutritional principles regardless of their source. Recognize that the body needs essential fat, carbohydrates, protein, variety of foods. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder. Learning to remove the rigidity of nutrition. There is a strict belief as to what constitutes healthy eating, and if this belief is violated, purging consequences can ensue, if bulimic. Recognize that the body needs essential fat, carbohydrates, protein, variety of foods. Chapter 17. The Science Behind Intuitive Eating. Based on the research to date, It can be argued that intuitive eating is a measurable eating style that may be beneficially associated with health indicators. Stephen Hawkes. When we cultivated the premise of intuitive eating, we reviewed evidence from hundreds of studies, which, in addition to our clinical experience, ultimately formed the basis for the 10 intuitive eating principles. Although our original concept was evidence-based, or more accurate to say, evidenced-inspired, it's really not the same thing as saying studies show that intuitive eating works. Until recently, that is. To date, there are over 25 studies on intuitive eating, with several more currently underway. In this chapter, we highlight some of the studies validating the process and characteristics of intuitive eating. Media ignites public and scientific interest. Although our book was originally published in 1995, the tipping point for both research and public interest in our work occurred 10 years later, triggered by the publication of two different studies on intuitive eating, which sparked global media attention. In 2005, a professor of health science at Brigham Young University, Stephen Hawkes, and his colleagues published one of the first studies exploring intuitive eating and health in college students. It was a small study in which women scoring high on an intuitive eating scale developed by Hawkes and colleagues were shown to have a lower body mass index, lower levels of fat in the blood, and a reduction in the overall risk for heart disease, compared with participants who scored low. In other words, intuitive eaters were associated with better health indicators. In an Associated Press interview about his study, Hawkes disclosed his personal weight battle, and that despite his knowledge and advanced degrees, he could not keep his weight off until intuitive eating, which was instrumental in his 50-pound sustained weight loss. The headline from that interview was, "Professor loses weight, keeps it off by eating whatever he wants," which ignited media frenzy. Very soon afterward, Dr. Hawkes and I appeared on the Today Show, discussing intuitive eating. Dr. Hawkes also gave several more national interviews, including CNN, MSNBC, and The Washington Post. Scientifically defining and measuring intuitive eating. In 2006, Dr. Tracy Tilka of Ohio State University published a large study on nearly 1,300 college women, which validated three key features of intuitive eating. 1. Unconditional permission to eat when hungry and what food is desired. 2. Eating for physical rather than emotional reasons. 3. Reliance on internal hunger and satiety cues to determine when and how much to eat. Tilka's research was a big undertaking, because in order to assess and validate the key components of intuitive eating, a series of 4 studies were conducted. In the first part of the study, Tilka created and validated the Intuitive Eating Scale, IES, to measure and identify intuitive eaters. Our quiz in Chapter 2, Are You an Intuitive Eater?, is based on the results from this study. Next, the college women completed the Intuitive Eating Scale, along with a series of other tests, in order to evaluate the relationship between intuitive eating and several indicators reflecting mental health, body awareness, and eating disorder symptoms. Women scoring high on the Intuitive Eating Scale were identified as intuitive eaters. Compared to women scoring low on this scale, intuitive eaters were found to have higher body satisfaction without internalizing the thin ideal, which indicates that intuitive eaters are less likely to base their self-worth on being thin. Intuitive eating scale total scores were also positively associated with self-esteem, satisfaction with life, optimism, and proactive coping. Intuitive eaters also had better body awareness or interoceptive awareness, a process in which your brain perceives physical sensations originating from within your body, such as fast heartbeat, heavy breathing, hunger, and fullness. Interoceptive awareness also includes the physical sensations triggered by emotions. Every emotion has a physical sensation. For example, when you experience feeling scared, you may perceive a pounding and rapid heartbeat, or perhaps you experience an overall physical tightness in your body or chest. This emotional-physical connection is so profound and accessible that psychiatrist Daniel Siegel, M.D., helps his patients get connected with their emotions by first having them identify the physical sensations they are experiencing in their bodies. Dr. Siegel describes this process in his book, Mindsight. Next, Tilke evaluated the relationship between body mass index, BMI, and intuitive eating scores. She predicted that individuals who eat intuitively are less likely to engage in behaviors that may lead to weight gain, such as eating in the absence of hunger, eating in response to emotional fluctuations and situational factors, compared to people engaging in dieting behaviors. As expected, women with higher IES scores were negatively related to BMI, which suggests that listening to body signals in determining what, when, and how much to eat is associated with a lower body mass index. Recall that several studies show that dieting predicts increased weight gain. So, this finding is not surprising, but it is validating. Notably, Tilke and Hawks each independently created and validated different tools to assess intuitive eating characteristics. Hawks' intuitive eating scale has four components. 1. Intrinsic eating. Eating is based on inner cues. 2. Extrinsic eating. Eating is based on external influences such as mood, social, and food availability. 3. Anti-dieting. Eating is not based on diets, counting calories, or desire for weight loss. 4. Self-care. Body acceptance, taking care of body regardless of size. The development of these assessment scales has opened up possibilities for other researchers to explore even more issues related to intuitive eating. These studies are described in the next section. Studies indicate benefits and characteristics of intuitive eating. Adolescence. Sally Dockendorf and colleagues adapted Tilke's intuitive eating scale for adolescents and presented her findings at the 119th Annual American Psychological Association Conference. Dockendorf identified an additional key component of intuitive eating, trust, as in the ability to trust the body's innate hunger and satiety cues. In other words, it wasn't enough to be aware of hunger and satiety cues. Intuitive eaters in this age group also trusted their bodies to tell them when and how much to eat. Given the growing food and fat phobia, trust may be a significant feature of all intuitive eaters, regardless of age. Dockendorf reported beneficial findings of intuitive eating for this group of over 500 middle school adolescents, which are consistent with Tilke's results on college women. Adolescents who scored high on Dockendorf's intuitive eating scale had lower A, body mass index levels, without internalizing culturally thin ideals, B, lower body dissatisfaction, and C, less mood problems. Intuitive eaters had better life satisfaction scores and experienced a greater positive mood. This is a noteworthy finding, as adolescents are particularly vulnerable to hormone fluctuations and peer pressure to fit in, which can influence mood and life satisfaction. Health properties of intuitive eaters' food choices. Some critics express concern about one of the key components of intuitive eating, unconditional permission to eat when hungry and what food is desired. They assert that if people were allowed to eat whatever they wanted, it would result in unhealthy diets and weight gain. To address this contention, Smith and Hawks designed a study involving nearly 350 male and female college students and evaluated the health-related properties of the food choices made by intuitive eaters. Contrary to the expectation of critics, students scoring high on the Hawks intuitive eating scale ate a more diverse diet and had a lower body mass index. Furthermore, there was no association between intuitive eating and the amount of junk food eaten in the diet. In other words, intuitive eaters were not eating an unhealthy diet. Intuitive eaters also reported taking more pleasure in their eating. Interestingly, more men than women were rated as intuitive eaters, 173 and 124 students, respectively. Health and well-being. Positive health psychology represents the pleasant end of emotional states, which include feeling upbeat, happy, appreciative, and has been shown by several studies to predict future levels of health and well-being. Moreover, these effects accumulate and compound over time, making people healthier, more socially integrated, effective, and resilient. Also, there are documented physical health benefits of such states, which include lower levels of the stress chemical cortisol and less inflammation. A study by Tilke and Wilcox on 340 college women showed that two core constructs of intuitive eating, one, eating for physical rather than emotional reasons, and two, reliance on internal hunger and satiety cues to determine when and how much to eat, uniquely contributes to the psychological well-being, including optimism, psychological hardiness, an indicator of resilience or the ability to recover from adversity, unconditional self-regard, positive affect, proactive coping, and social problem-solving. The study's findings highlight the importance of a person's ability to detect and attend to their emotions and their biological cues of hunger and satiety, as detection and awareness of these states are uniquely connected to well-being. These findings validate many of the intuitive eating principles. Honor your hunger, respect your fullness, coping with feelings without using food, reject the diet mentality. Intuitive eating holds promise for U.S. military. The U.S. Army conducted a promising pilot study on the merits of intuitive eating for its troops. Researchers from the U.S. Army Baylor Graduate Program in Nutrition evaluated both motivation for eating and the intuitive eating characteristics of 100 active duty military service members aged 18 to 65 years old. The results indicated that military service members with a normal body mass index scored the highest on the intuitive eating scale, were more likely to eat for physical reasons, and relied upon their internal hunger satiety cues, whereas participants with above normal body mass index levels were inclined to eat for non-intuitive or non-physical reasons. Because of these promising results, a larger study is underway, which will evaluate the effectiveness of an intuitive eating program to help break the emotional, environmental, and social connection with eating in the military service. Factors that promote or interfere with intuitive eating. Studies show that there are many factors that influence intuitive eating, such as comments and feeding practices by parents and other caregivers, self-silencing of thoughts and feelings, body acceptance and appreciation, and cultural westernization. These studies are described in the following section. Parent-caregiver feeding practices and eating messages. Parental feeding practices. Galloway and colleagues evaluated the impact of parental feeding practices on intuitive eating and body mass index with a novel study design. Nearly 100 college-aged students and their parents completed retrospective questionnaires of parental feeding practices regarding the college student's childhood. Examples of the questions included, did your parent keep track of blank? The sweets, candy, ice cream, cake, pies, and pastries that you ate. The snack foods, such as potato chips, that you ate. The high-fat foods that you ate. Next, the researchers measured the student's current body mass index and assessed their intuitive eating levels using Tilke's intuitive eating scale. The results showed that parental monitoring and restriction of food intake had a significant impact on their college students' body mass index, emotional eating, and intuitive eating scale scores. Parents that monitored and restricted their daughters' eating had daughters who, A, reported significantly more emotional eating, B, had a higher body mass index, and C, were less inclined to eat for physical reasons of hunger and satiety. The association was different for the male college students. Parents who recollected restriction of their sons' food intake had sons with significantly heavier body mass index levels, but they did not report higher emotional eating. Once again, another study shows that intuitive eating is associated with a lower body mass index. The researchers concluded that controlling feeding practices by parents have potentially long-term consequences and may contribute to the development of emotional eating. Impact of parent and caregiver eating messages. Kroon van Diest and Tilke report similar findings from a study on college-aged men and women. They created and validated a questionnaire which asked students to rate the degree to which their parents or caregivers emphasized the following types of behaviors while growing up. Told you that you shouldn't eat certain foods because they will make you fat. Talked about dieting or restricting certain high-calorie foods. Commented that you are eating too much. They found high levels of critical and restrictive eating messages from caregivers were associated with low intuitive eating scores and higher body mass index scores. These intuitive eating studies on parental feeding practices add to the body of research by L.L. Birch, which shows that when parents attempt to restrict children's eating, it backfires by disconnecting them from their natural hunger and satiety cues, ultimately creating the very problem they were trying to circumvent. These studies also support many principles of intuitive eating, including reject the food police, make peace with food, honor your hunger, feed your fullness, and make peace with food. Self-silencing. Self-silencing is the suppression of one's thoughts, feelings, or needs, and it is a gender phenomenon influencing women's mental health. The process of self-silencing is thought to begin in adolescence, a vulnerable time when body dissatisfaction and social pressures emerge. When silencing their voices, young women may begin to ignore or suppress physiological or hunger cues that are inconsistent with societal ideas of thinness. Expression of thoughts, feelings, or needs appear to be a critical aspect of healthy eating behaviors. Shels and Nilsson evaluated the relationship between disordered eating, intuitive eating, and self-silencing, and found that intuitive eating is maximized when a woman has high levels of emotional awareness combined with low levels of self-silencing. However, when high emotional awareness was coupled with more self-silencing, participants had more disordered eating and less intuitive eating. The researchers believe that when women have clarity about their thoughts and feelings, but silence their voices, hunger signals may become confused, which may decrease trust of internal signals of hunger and satiation. The most intuitive and least disordered eaters in the study displayed high emotional awareness and low self-silencing. The results of this study validate the principles, challenge the food police, and cope with your emotions without using food. Acceptance and body appreciation. While the ability to eat intuitively is inborn, the likelihood of remaining an intuitive eater is influenced by the environment, which includes family, friends, and culture. Intuitive eating can be thwarted by an environment that lacks acceptance and, or, imposes rigid rules for eating that ignore a person's inner experience, such as hunger or satisfaction. Furthermore, when people encourage others to be critical of their bodies, they, women especially, learn to eat in a disconnected manner in an attempt to regulate their appearance instead of listening to their bodies. Additionally, pressure to lose weight by family members, friends, and culture, in lieu of body acceptance, contributes to focusing on appearance-related eating. Many people are surprised to learn that body compliments can be a form of judging a person by their appearance, such as, "You look great. How much weight did you lose?" Or, "I wish I had a body like yours." Acceptance model of intuitive eating. A series of studies by Tracy Tilka and colleagues on nearly 600 college women and 800 women ages 18 to 65 years old, respectively, found that placing emphasis on body function and body appreciation are key ways to translate body acceptance into intuitive eating behaviors. When women emphasize the functionality of their bodies over appearance, they are more inclined to eat according to their body's biological cues. Furthermore, they found that adopting an attitude of body appreciation predicted intuitive eating, because favorable body attitudes are associated with greater awareness of body signals, combined with a greater tendency to honor these signals. Their research indicates that it is important to promote a positive body orientation, which focuses on body appreciation and body functionality rather than appearance, which in turn facilitates intuitive eating. Tilka and colleagues found that body appreciation was uniquely and positively related to intuitive eating in a wide variety of age groups for women. They identified four hallmarks of body appreciation. 1. Possessing a favorable opinion of the body despite size and perceived imperfections. 2. Being aware of and attentive to the body's needs. 3. Engaging in healthy behaviors to take care of the body. 4. Protecting the body by rejecting unrealistic media body ideals. Tilka and colleagues believe that it is important to challenge Western promulgation of the thin ideal stereotype and promote acceptance of a diversity of body sizes. Cultural acceptance. A fascinating series of multicultural studies by Hawks and colleagues indicate that prior to and during the early stages of Westernization, individuals from their native countries are natural intuitive eaters. But this process of eating is sacrificed at the expense of the Westernized thin ideal. During acculturation, the Westernized standard of beauty becomes internalized via the bombardment of unrealistic media images of thinness, and indigenous intuitive eating styles erode away toward external cues of eating, both of which can lead to obesity and eating disorders. These acceptance studies support and validate Principle 7, respect your body. What about men? Many of the intuitive eating studies have been conducted on women or on mixed groups of men and women, but not men only. There are studies underway exploring intuitive eating issues in men. A preliminary study on 181 college men by Gast and colleagues found that men scoring high on the Hawks' intuitive eating scale were associated with a lower body mass index compared to men with low intuitive eating scores. The men also placed more value on being physically fit and healthy rather than on an ideal weight. The researchers suggested that intuitive eating seems ideally suited for men because it builds on men's anti-dieting views. Men often perceive dieting behaviors as feminine, and builds on self-care fitness beliefs that appear to be more likely held by men. Together, the results from these studies show that intuitive eaters have many attributes associated with both physical and mental health. Intuitive eating characteristics. This chart summarizes the research findings of characteristics associated with intuitive eating. Intuitive eaters have lower body mass index, internalized culturally thin ideal, triglycerides, disordered eating, emotional eating, self-silencing, suppressing one's thoughts, feelings, and needs. Intuitive eaters have higher self-esteem, well-being and optimism, variety of foods eaten, body appreciation and acceptance, HDL, good cholesterol, interoceptive awareness, pleasure from eating, proactive coping, psychological hardiness, unconditional self-regard. Studies on binge eating treatment and eating disorder prevention. Up until recently, research on eating disorders has been pathology and symptom-based, without considering positive eating behaviors. But in 2006, Tilke and Wilcox evaluated the constructs of intuitive eating and concluded that they were distinct and contributed uniquely to psychological well-being, and that intuitive eating is more than the absence of eating disorder symptoms. Furthermore, they recommended that intuitive eating be part of the educational process for treating eating disorders, as it could contribute to the patient's ability to flourish and thrive in recovery. A recent study found that the intuitive eating model is a promising approach for eating disorder prevention on college campuses. Intuitive eating was found to have more appeal because it did not have the perceived stigma of eating disorders, which is less threatening for voluntary student participation. Binge eating treatment. A promising study by Laura Smitham from the University of Notre Dame used an 8-week intuitive eating program based on our book for treating 31 women diagnosed with binge eating disorder. The results of this study showed a significant reduction in binge eating, so much so that the women no longer met the diagnostic criteria for binge eating disorder. A caveat of this study was that there was no control comparison group. However, there were control comparison groups for two larger studies on binge eaters using an approach similar to an intuitive eating process, which also resulted in a significant reduction in binge eating. The treatment process used was mindfulness-based eating awareness training, MBEAT, which was developed by Jean Christeller, PhD, and it shares a significant number of features with intuitive eating. Although the MBEAT training program does not have a specific reject the diet component, Christeller agrees that dieting interferes with mind-body attunement, and this hazard is reinforced many times throughout her program. Intuitive eating, the solution for prevention of eating disorders and obesity. Because of the growing body of research indicating that intuitive eaters eat diverse foods, have better self-esteem, healthier weights, better psychological hardiness, and reduced eating disorder symptomology, we believe that intuitive eating can be the unifying solution to prevent both eating disorders and obesity. We are afraid that the well-meaning public health policies fighting the war on obesity may create unintended problems, from perpetuating greater weight gain to increasing the risk of eating disorders, the hazards of which are documented in a position statement by the Academy for Eating Disorders. Public health policies promote external solutions rather than attunement of food, mind, and body. They also tend to promote weight stigma and body dissatisfaction, both of which are risk factors for eating disorders and obesity. Similarities between mindfulness-based eating and intuitive eating principles. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Hunger awareness training. Intuitive eating principles. Honor your hunger. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Taste and enjoyment of eating. Intuitive eating principles. Discover the satisfaction factor. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Awareness of fullness. Intuitive eating principles. Respect your fullness. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Food choices based on liking and health. Intuitive eating principles. Satisfaction. Make peace with food. Honor health with gentle nutrition. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Non-judgmental awareness of eating. Intuitive eating principles. Challenge the food police. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components. Meet emotional needs in healthy way. Intuitive eating principles. Cope with your feelings without using food. Mindfulness-based eating awareness training components: acceptance and non-judgment of body. Intuitive eating principles: respect your body.